Don't do brass tacks. I'm actually here chuckling very large at some of the comments from my WhatsAppers. And as much as we congratulate all of the frontline workers, I think they have done significant work. I want today to just take a second and congratulate all of our listeners and our WhatsAppers and our people who continue to make the program what it is, even our regular callers who play a significant role. You have been consistent, not always the opinions, but you have been a significant staple in brass tacks. And companies think of you, because I remember in a previous life when we wanted an ad and we wanted this ad to be listened to with a wider audience, the catch was if you take it through brass tacks time, you get a better listenership. So brass tacks does make a difference in the lives of businesses and individuals. While some people may scoff and say, oh, brass tacks, I don't listen to brass tacks, the amount of times that I hear them comment on it, it tells me that they are pretending or they're either telling lies. So thank you to the callers. Thank you to the WhatsAppers. Thank you to the listeners and those persons who are from over and away. I've seen a number of WhatsApps coming from persons who are living abroad, who said they listened to the Prime Minister last night, and some who commented on one or two of the things that I would have said. Thank you to all of you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mrs. Steele?
Peace received.
Thank you so much. I want to talk about two things today, if you would give me the privilege.
It's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you so much. You make me feel wanted.
All of us should do that to someone at some point, shouldn't we?
Oh, well, you know, as someone said, I'm somebody too.
Exactly.
Right. Now, I want to talk about the national insurance and the self-employed people. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of business that goes, and I want to talk about the monkey. Something happened I heard about a monkey. I want to talk about it. It hurts me. Now, a lot of people talk about self-employed people and paying national insurance. I am one of the persons who agree faithfully that national insurance should be paid. But what I would like to see happen in this country is that we have a small court. Because a lot of the small, self-employed people work by word of mouth. And people go to them or call them in the business and make, you know, mouth-to-mouth contracts with them. And the self-employed persons go ahead and work and everything like that. And then when it is come to get paid, they got to wait till the cow jump over the moon to be paid. They're not able to seek any recourse because sometimes they have to spend more money than even the job might cost to take somebody to that business court. And therefore, I would believe that all the self-employed persons, as a lawyer told me once, the word business means there's no business without a written contract. And if a lot of people and self-employed people, you go to write out agreements, when you go to the people, although they call you, you ask them to sign here on the bottom line. They say they can't sign it. And if you can't work without the job, you can't get the job.
And if you sometimes can't work without the contract.
Huh?
You mean if you can't work without the contract, you can't get the job.
Can't get the job. Mm-hmm. Right? And therefore, sometimes when the persons go and work, sometimes it's like buying work, self-employed people. And sometimes one of the problems that I had A lot of people have called me to work. Oh, I heard about you. Oh, yes. They never disagree with me that the job did. I charge them $100 for the job. They don't disagree. The problem is, at the end of time to get pay, I can't see a dollar or $100, and then I can't even find the man.
So let me help you. Uh-huh. If you find yourself as a self-employed person committing labor and resources, because it's not only labor, sometimes it encompasses a bit of equipment, your time, sometimes uh-huh. your workmen, etc., uh-huh. to carry out a job on behalf of someone, and then at the end you can't get your money, what you can do is enter into an agreement. A lot of large companies do this, where there's a down payment, some kind of a commitment fee. There's another term called a mobilization fee. And that helps you at least to offset some of your initial costs. It doesn't cover everything. But within the contract, which they don't want to sign, you let them know you want, on mobilization, you want a fee. Let's say you want 30% as at the beginning of the job. In the middle of the job, you want another 30% or a 40%, and then you then put your other 30% when the job is finished and agreed and everybody is happy. Now, that doesn't always happen because there are some entities that you have to wait until you have to do all the work and then get paid. But try and make sure that all of your contracts are not like that, because you will find yourself in the same predicament that you're speaking of right now, and you wouldn't be able to pay your staff.
Right.
So you have to put in some built-in mechanisms to assist you.
Well, I want to get around to that. The field that I am in, well, I am not working now. I'm a disabled person. I'm blind, in case you didn't know. I'm telling you that I'm blind. Now, I'm speaking about in the past when I used to work in my...
Have we met before?
Pardon me?
Have you and I met before?
Oh, we always talk and I...
No, physically. Have we personally met before?
No, if I had met you, I would have offered to marry you.
Oh, no. No, I met a few... I asked that question deliberately because I have one or two, about three or four persons in the blind community who I have met within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to give me your name, automatically I would know it is you.
You
do sound like one of them.
When I say peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is my hallmark. Because if I bring peace, mm-hmm. I can't bring war. And I always say from the days of Father Hatch, mm-hmm. when he was on the radio,
mm-hmm.
I always say peace be unto you.
Were you blind then?
You mean when I used to speak to Father Hatch?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But what I am saying, let me explain to you. The field I'm in,
mm-hmm.
I'm in electrical.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you have don't they give you at least a mobilization fee?
Sometimes you don't always get it. You can't get
it. You don't always get it, but I'm just asking if you used to get one at least.
Sometimes, listen, if I had to share my stories, I can give you a story which you would laugh at, because I find that you like to laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on a job one day when a contractor called me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my name is Mr. Lewis. He said, Mr. Lewis, I have a floor here to put down a building I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is, I want to get this concrete cast. Could you come and collect the drawing and have the floor put down for me? And whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, that's no problem, because I was working on a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I took some money from the person I was working for. And I said, you will have to give me some money to buy the conduits and the fittings and pipes and all sorts of things. He said, Mr. Lewis, you can't tell me you don't got money to go and buy the fittings
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. Man, you can go and get the fittings. Get the floor put down for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
I took the money now from the person I was working for.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them to give me the money because I did not have the money. You know, a lot of people always say,
So the same person that asked you to do the job did not supply you with the funding to start?
No, no. This money that I asked for the person was from another person I was working for.
Oh.
So I took the money from them and I went and bought the materials and every whatnot and put down the floor.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished put down the floor, it ended the Friday afternoon. Money came for all the workers, the masons and everybody. But I had to go home and talk to their heart. You understand what I'm saying? And we mm-hmm. can go to the supermarket with that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm understanding, but you know that's a tactical error that you would have made. And I hope you didn't make it the second time again or the third or the fourth time.
Listen, I made it a million and one more times. It is something that has to happen. It is something that do happen because, you see, what I learned is that psychology is the only place that psychology don't work is in Barbados. People's mouth are like butter. And you agree with them and they promise you with tears in their eyes.
You were just dealing with the wrong customers, that's all?
No, actually. You ask, let somebody talk to you.
No, I can hear stories of your kind replete across the length and breadth of Barbados, but I'm telling you that's a tactical error. You make that mistake once. You make that mistake once, and then to safeguard yourself and your employees, you have to ensure that there's a built-in method, which many businesses have right now. You have to pay down something in order for any work to start. So don't tell me that it continued like that all the time in your business.
No, I am not saying that it continued with every case, you know. I didn't want you to be, but you see what I mean to tell you. Then if I get 10 jobs,
mm-hmm.
5 people pay me, and 5 don't pay me. And I still got men to pay. I still got equipment to buy. I still got a vehicle to maintain. I still got all sorts of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Which you have to, as the business, you have to, and this is advice I do give to businesses that I work with. There are some measures, you know, we learned recently, not learned, but we came across the word, we used it a lot more often, protocols. There's some things you put in place as your business to safeguard yourself. And one of them is there must be a mobilization fee for me to start any work with you or your. That's something you have to build in. And sometimes you do lose a job here and there because some people come and tell you, well, we can't give you any money yet because...
What you just said is what I am saying to you. Sometimes you get a mobilization fee.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't get it. But I'm trying to say that the ones you get the mobilization fee, you have to subsidize the next job with it. That is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's a little unfortunate. Okay. And it is across the length and breadth of the construction industry,
but
unfortunately.
I am asking if it could be corrected in the sense that people, if we had some person, court, to apply to, and maybe we don't have to go and spend days and working hours to let somebody hear our plight.
Well.
Then eventually, you know me. So I don't know if I'm asking for something impossible.
Not impossible, but given the state of the industry, And the culture of the behavior of some, there's some people who don't like to pay bills, and we're running up to the latest, so I'm going to have to.
And those are the people who take advantage of the situation.
Right, and yes, so I'm going to end here by sharing with you a quick experience. Just recently, someone suggested or recommended me for a job right here in February, and it was with an international firm, international firm, and I didn't have the opportunity to have a mobilization fee, and I took a gamble, and I did the job all, I think it was 38 hours or so, and the 3 weeks, 4 weeks passed, and the only called me recently and said to please share I had to share it from before, but they asked me to clarify something, and you share your banking details, and the money is on the bank, because the bank just called on Tuesday to ask if we were expecting some funds. So sometimes you make a gamble, but some other times, but you have to put those mechanisms in place. I'm going to thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to the Starcom Network News. Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. We have quite a bit of WhatsAppers who've shared their thoughts. I've been going through them in the break, and it was interesting to see the perspective on various conversations that have gone before, some of which I've missed. And primarily the comment, one person, more than one person, but this one, the last one I was reading was someone who said they live in Lamins, and they've been living there for a number of years, and just only 10 years ago, they put in a tank, and they've been finding that that was the best option. Although it took a little set of money initially, they have no regrets because they're now going through the water crisis, and they are not feeling the pressures like the other persons who have chosen not to go that route. And I know there are some people who just financially don't see the value in the uptake, the initial uptake of putting in the tank. And then there are some instances where people have tanks. Like there was one lady who called just a couple of weeks ago, and she shared that she had a tank, but they're just not even getting any water to fill the tanks. They're having some significant challenges. So it is a real crisis that those persons are experiencing within a crisis. And then there were some who commented on the mobilization. I want to go back there because that was the last call just before we went to the Starcom Network News. And the gentleman was sharing the challenge that he had with some persons who promise to pay and then not pay, and then sometimes having, he said the order of the day was really to use funds from another job on another job. And one WhatsApper shared that they themselves too, they're a contractor, but it is poor money management to use funds from one job to another, because you will always be playing a catch-up game. And I stopped there because I thought that was a very useful point. And even many years ago when our home was being built, we had some challenges with the contractor. The neighborhood had some challenges with the contractor initially. The contractor was changed. And then we all had our individual contractors. And then that contractor was also changed. and a lot of it is because sometimes some contractors have poor financial practices, and it impacts on their being able to service their clients. And then a lot of that sometimes can easily be fixed by putting some tactical protocols in place for your business and for your employees so as to reduce the stress. And if you find that you are encountering too many challenges receiving funding, then you may have to sometimes build out your contract in such a way that you reduce the possibility of not being paid by asking, as I said earlier, for more funds up front. So you do one at mobilization, and then you know do another tranche in the middle, and then another tranche, and make the person work with you. They can't tell you, oh, you don't have funds to buy these things. Tell them, no, you don't. Because your funds go either to your workers or to your to buy any materials or to the other things, the other business costs. But no entity can expect you to take up funds, all especially to finish a job to its full extent, and then they then don't want to pay you at an early enough time for you to then pay your employees. That's a little unconscionable. And unfortunately, it happens too often. And then I had a WhatsApper who shared, I'm going to get to the phone lines shortly, but then we had another WhatsApper who shared, what about those students who are going to class at home online, as has been outlined by the government, but then their parents have to go to work? That's another balancing act that needs to also be had, because we can't expect to leave children at home for any length of time, especially if they're underage. So that is something that the ministry and those parents, as well as the employer, would have to work through. And I'm hoping that it is not on a very large scale, but we will see how this pans out. There will be some persons who will be disadvantaged, and the whole point of a crisis is that things are not going normal. So you can't expect to have normalcy in a crisis. So let us manage how we go through and roll out these extremely difficult scenarios that are going to come into play. There are some scenarios where persons are single, and therefore, if they have more than one child in the home and the child is not at school, they may be at school age, yes, but that person has to go to work. How would that be managed, especially if there's no second parent, whether it is the extended family and those type of things? So we do have a number of considerations as we roll out this, the after COVID or even as we continue in the COVID crisis. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, mister. Greetings to John. That name means to walk with God.
Sorry, his name. Yes, that is the name of... What's the pronunciation?
In Greek, it'd be Yanni.
Sorry?
In Greek, it'd be Yanni.
Right, yes.
And good afternoon to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But still, from time to time, I hear the moderators getting, you know, some people calling and making themselves feel, letting you all know that dance and that is offensive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if you know a man named Solomon.
No, I don't know him.
Okay.
I know of him.
Oh, good, good, good.
I'll tell you what COVID has done to Solomon and my family. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Getting personal. But I have had, for the last few days, I've given my family a chore, all of us, to read Proverbs. And my husband has been tasked with watering his wife with the word. So he has to read it to me on mornings. And my son also has to read a chapter as well. So yes, we are intimately aware of Solomon. We might not know him, having not walked in his lifetime, but we know of his writings and the things that he talked about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way that I asked you that is the way that you handled the caller before.
Mm-hmm.
Second of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have here in my hands Solomon's word.
Mm-hmm.
Better is the end of a matter than the beginning. Better to be patient than to be haughty in spirit.
I can tell you.
And do not be quick to take an offense,
or
take offense lodges in the bosom of fools. I to myself, when I hear that, God, I was just laying down listening to the bastard. When I hear that, you know, I said, please let you know Solomon.
But that's not to say that you wouldn't get offended on occasion, but you shouldn't be too quick to take offense.
don't be too quick.
Yeah.
Just take offense. And it doesn't mean let the offense boil up and boil up and boil up. And then say, see me, I tired of this blow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes let things pass, man.
We should. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Let me share an experience I had with you. One time I went and saw one of my friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This person was very cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what happened? Man, you disappoint me, man.
Mm-hmm.
I paused. You know, I asked this question. Tell me who you never disappoint yet. And that was the end of the story. And they didn't say, well, I'm sorry, right? And this is right here in the book, too, you know. Here was Solomon's prayer at verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Also, do not take to heart every word that people say. Otherwise, you may hear your servant calling down evil on you.
Mm-hmm.
For you well know in your heart that many times you yourself have called down evil on others. You still like this?
Mm-hmm.
We will look at people, you know, criticizing and affect, we take offense. But tell me who we never offend yet.
Yeah.
Offend somebody, ma'am.
Cast the first stone, he who is without sin.
Well, you must say that's trouble, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Listen, none of us is perfect, and you're raising a pretty interesting point, and we need to, and I think this is a personal choice that I take, we need to reduce the offenses and stop thinking, so, and where does offense come from? Sometimes it comes from, and I'm not saying that I don't get offended. There's sometimes people say some awfully silly things, and I go like, you're serious? You know, and sometimes, or somebody may take a perspective on something that you have... No, you don't agree with at all, whether morally or whatever. But when you examine where it comes from, it comes from a state of feeling as though you take a position that is the position that should be the position to be taken. And if anybody else takes another position, they are either less than, or you castigate them and put them in a category. And we need to manage that. That's the honest truth. because the genesis of it isn't very healthy.
And it makes you sick, you know. You know, it makes you sick because you'll be seeing a person that you don't like, and that person is getting happy and married, and you'll say to yourself, but I don't like she, I don't like he. And when you don't want to say the road, you're going over the other side. Then you get knocked down trying to get up there. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, as you say, do not be quick. And we can move on. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much for sharing, my brother. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. I'd like to ask a question. What did the Prime Minister say as far as drones used by the farmers?
What did she say as
far as drones used by the farmers? Is it going to be used as a security measure?
I heard the word drones being mentioned, yes. I can pull up the piece and then I can probably share it openly if you give me a chance to call it out after. I'll call it out sometime during the program. But I did hear a mention on as it relates to the agricultural sector, yes.
Okay, but this is my point. Drones are listed as a prohibited item, but they are going to be used as a security measure by farmers. My question is, what legislation would be in place for the misuse of drones? And another question would is...
Misuse or use? Drones,
if they are misused...
Right, okay. To protect the persons who they impact. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. And another question would is, would the drones be licensed by serial numbers like the firearms? And would the farmers be properly trained to use the drones?
I don't know that it is that farmers have to use drones, but what we can do is get all of these details. You're asking a pretty important point, or raising a pretty important point. The details of which I don't know what they are. So it would be good if we can read through the particular line item on that one. I'm trying to pull it up even now as we speak, because I did get the full note last night on the entire speech. But it isn't right here before me. But you're raising a point whether or not legislation is in place to govern the behavior of the drones. And then secondly, in terms of the misuse, what type of, whether it's fines, what type of penalties are for the persons who may misuse. So thanks for sharing and raising an important point on any new measure that comes in place, whether or not it is legal to be done. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Remember, we're going until 2 p.m. today. It is now approximately 3 minutes before 1 o'clock. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Now, I want to draw about 3 quick points. Quick. Now, first, the funerals. Funerals. Could it be that instead of 10 people attending funerals, as they say here, as the authorities say, 10 persons to a funeral, now, can that number be extended to about 25? I'll tell you why I say that. Now, the cemetery is a big open up area. You and I quite know well. In my lifetime, I have never seen more than 3-4 funerals in that cemetery. I'm not saying that they haven't had more than that, but in my years, I have never seen more than 3-5 funerals, 3-4 funerals in there at one given time. You know what I mean? You got to think about these loved ones. When your loved one die, you know, you're minimizing it to 10. Suppose now that woman has 10 children. You know, only the 10 children could attend that funeral. You know, what about her aunties, her cousins, her in-laws, her friends? Well, I get to the friends yet. You know, they really need to step up that number. That number of 10 is ridiculous. Let me hear your comment, please.
I don't think it's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous. I stick to that.
Right, and then that's fine. I went to, as you were speaking, I remembered, just in early April, or is it late March?
Yes.
It may be late March. We had the death of one of our colleagues, a Camerarian, who passed away. She's just a year older than I was. And I was coming to Brass Tacks that same Thursday, actually. And the funeral wasn't very far. Okay. And I visited just near River Road, New Testament Church. And I know her mom, and I know her from school. She's just only a year older than me, so she would have been seeing me around. And at that time, we had a death. I think so. There were no restrictions as yet. But we had, you know, the heightened environment about COVID, et cetera. There were so many discussions. And
yes.
I was amazed at the lack of social distancing, because it was at that time, I think that was the same week that we were told we were not supposed to meet in any large measure. And at that time, I think it was 25 persons. I don't think at the time we had got to come down to 10 or anything like that. And I observed that behavior usually has to be influenced by a rule or a regulation. Otherwise, people will not. And even when you have those rules and regulations, people still kind of break the rules. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and a gentleman said, rules are to be broken. I said that just simply because if I had a family member who passed away, I would want to be there. If I had a very good friend who passed away, I would want to be there.
Thank you.
So taking that into consideration, yes, you want to have the numbers larger. I also don't want to be particularly exposed at a time when I could otherwise not be exposed.
But
in a crisis like this, you're going to say something?
No, you finish it then.
Right. We had another death subsequent to that within the COVID. This is not family nor a colleague, no. This is, you know, they're people who you go to their funerals because you're part of an organization for which that person is part of the organization. Not that you knew the person.
Yeah.
And I opted not to go on the basis of, okay, I knew that there was going to be a number, a limit, and I am not friend or family. Yes, I may be part of the organization for which the person worked, but I took a decision, no, I will not either expose myself or try to insert another number in there when that number would probably be filled by a family member.
Yeah, but I still see pageants working with the social distance very well. You know, a place like
I must say I'm not seeing it that much.
I see it. A place like Cemetery that has a lot of space, acres of land. You know, come on, man. They definitely can move that to 25. Definitely.
So you mean for the burial then? You would prefer the number to be increased for the burial? But for the church, what about the church?
Well, the church, we don't got no chalk-up churches here. We got churches here that can sit 25 people comfortably, and you got a lot more room.
Not all, though.
The churches here that will hold less than 25 people. But let me move on to the next point. Crime.